Alberta wants a divorce from Canada, that is, if you believe what's circulating on social media platforms, and the hundreds of Albertans who rallied in front of the legislature in Edmonton on May 3. Discontent among Conservative Party of Canada supporters came roaring down like an avalanche after the Liberal Party, despite forming another minority government, was given a fourth straight mandate. So, after the votes were counted, Mark Carney and the Liberals had 169 seats, three short of earning a majority government, compared to the 144 held by the Conservatives. Adding insult to injury, Tory leader Pierre Poilievre lost to Liberal candidate Bruce Lovejoy in the Carleton constituency, a riding Poilievre had held for two decades. Social media erupted with varying opinions, and the debate intensified by the day. Even Alberta Premier Danielle Smith seems to be toying with the idea of helping Alberta's separatist movement by introducing Bill 54 a day after the election. The bill would amend citizen-initiated referendum rules. If it passes and is signed into law, it would reduce the required petition signatures from 20 to 10% of total registered voters. Applicants would also have 120 days to collect the signatures, instead of 90. Alberta's Indigenous communities, as well as members of the provincial opposition, the NDP, and tribal chiefs, howled in protest, with the latter reminding people that Alberta sits on Treaties 6, 7 and 8. These are binding documents signed by their ancestors with the British Crown and governed by international law, including the UN Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples. This goes beyond federal and provincial law, and even predates the creation of the province of Alberta. The treaties were signed in 1876, 1877 and 1899, while Alberta became a province in 1905, a fact Federation of Sovereign Indigenous Nations Chief Bobby Cameron reiterated in a recent interview with SASC Today. He added that he could not stop people from saying and thinking what they wanted, but treaty lands, along with their resources, would remain the traditional lands of First Nations. Western alienation became an issue a few years after the Liberals swept into power under Prime Minister Justin Trudeau in 2015. Albertans felt Ottawa's federal policies did not benefit them economically. Many believed there was inequality in the distribution of resources, particularly in Alberta's oil and gas industry. The Tories capitalized on this, with Poilievre rallying Western Canadians during the 2025 campaign. The Conservatives failed to wrest power from the Liberals but increased their number of MPs by 24. They won 13 of 14 seats in Saskatchewan, 34 of 37 in Alberta, 7 of 14 in Manitoba, and 18 of 43 in British Columbia, compared to 20 for the Liberals. The Tories even flipped several constituencies once held by the Liberal Party or the NDP and made gains in Toronto. However, adding insult to injury, Poilievre lost his Carleton seat to Liberal Bruce Lovejoy. However, he is expected to retain a parliamentary seat in a by-election within the coming months, following the resignation of Battle River Crowfoot MP Damien Curack, despite Curack having won his constituency overwhelmingly. Even if you combined all the votes of the three other candidates, it would still not be enough to come close to Curack's numbers. It has been almost 2 weeks since the election, and social media has become a toxic place, especially if you read the comments on videos by experts and Indigenous content creators who explain why Alberta's separatist movement won't work. One key fact: it would require a constitutional amendment if Albertans truly want to secede. Then, expect a lengthy legal battle with First Nations based on Treaties 6, 7 and 8. There is even a minority who want Alberta to join the U.S. as the 51st state. Some have dubbed them Maple MAGA. If that's the case, then I hope you have fun navigating their healthcare system. There's also a conspiracy theory claiming the election was stolen from the Conservatives, lifted straight from the GOP playbook south of the border, as well as hateful, racist remarks toward Indigenous people. I suspect some of those making racist comments are trolls, fanning the flames of division. I did not expect this when my family moved to Saskatchewan from Saipan in 2019. Sure, there is subtle racism and the system isn't perfect, but that is no reason to spew hate and division. This is not the U.S., where diehard MAGA GOP supporters rapidly want to tear down the radical left and whiny liberals. This is Canada, the country that welcomed strangers with open arms when flights were diverted after the 9/11 attacks. Canada, which spilled its blood on the fields of Flanders and the beaches of Normandy. Everyone should act like an adult, sit down and talk. Politely discuss your grievances, ideas and opinions, rather than acting like a toddler throwing a tantrum for not getting what they wanted. I know summer is right around the corner, but take a moment to breathe and relax. You are all Canadians, whether Indigenous, descendants of settlers, or immigrants who became naturalized citizens. You all cheered when Connor McDavid scored the game-winning goal against the U.S. in the Four Nations in February. You rallied together to support Canadian businesses and buy local when U.S. President Trump threatened crippling tariffs, igniting a trade war. Elbows up. Many Albertans, particularly Western Canadians, dislike the Liberals. However, Carney is extending an olive branch and has promised to be a leader for all, regardless of whether you voted blue or red. Even Smith said she had a positive conversation with Carney, who must now prove he is different from Trudeau and willing to listen to the concerns of Western Canadians. I'm sure I'll get hateful messages from some people. My only message: Pax et bonum, peace and goodwill, to all.